Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast meeting is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging, and their multiple birth parents with children with disabilities.
And this week, we're speaking to Sinead, a speaker and advocate for mothers and carers in the disability community.
This podcast contains truth, laughter, and the occasional F word, so it's not really suitable for children.
Sometimes you just have to get your shits out. Shit, 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 shit. That's right, this is a language warning. Oh, shit.
Hello, Mandy.
Hello, Kate.
We are remote because I have a tickle in my throat, and we learnt something in the last couple of years, didn't we?
Yeah.
Stay home when you've got a tickle. We could start another wave of something in the eastern suburbs of Melbourne, and we're not going to do that.
So. And I was just like, okay, I'm not coming.
No, it's so great now. Because remember, I feel like pre-pandemic, I felt like I would have had to soldier on too. Like,
yeah,
come on, suck it up.
You should have to.
Yeah, now we're like, oh, okay, I'm not sick, but you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's better.
Something's brewing, you can rest.
Yes. For the weather chat, it is so warm.
Oh my gosh, Melbourne.
It's just like it's good to be alive.
It really, everyone in Melbourne's happy.
We've got a week over 20.
Yeah, I worked with a beautiful P in Perth yesterday, and she's like, I'm just showing you, it's raining now, so it's coming. Well, really gassed our spirits.
I said a whole week on the bomb, and I believe them.
Oh, yeah. I'm like cracking open all the summer dresses.
Oh, the windows in the house are open. Oh,
the toes are out, Kate.
The toes are out. Mandy's in her Birkenstocks.
Anyway. Enough about us and weather.
Yes, yes.
We have got a gorgeous guest today who we met on her podcast a couple of years ago.
Yes.
Yeah. How long ago was that?
3 or 4 years ago.
Really?
Yeah, you guys were only in it about six or eight months. I don't think you haven't cracked a year, I don't believe.
Maybe early 2020, early pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Well, anyway, say hello and introduce yourself.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Sinead. I am a P because my son has Down syndrome and autism. He is 15. I can't believe he's 15.
I know. How weird is it when they get above about 12?
Yes. It's a very different world. It really is. And yeah, he's a delight. He is a complete and utter delight. And so yes, I'm a P because of him. But I also have two other children and married, and now living in Australia. But we have lived, when I started my podcast, I was in the US.
Yeah, you're in America when I spoke to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's maybe ask our questions and then we'll get into it. Yeah.
Yep. All right. Well, we'll ask the first one. Do you have a song or a band or music that you love, you listen to in the good times or pumps you up in the bad times?
I tried to think about this. I'm one of those girls that listens to everything.
Yeah, good.
And now I have a 13-year-old daughter. It is kind of dictated to Taylor Swift.
Yes. You are in your Taylor Swift era.
Mm. Well, you really are. So,
which isn't a bad thing either.
You know what? It's not. And I have to say, what was her song? It used to pump me up a lot.
We're never getting back together. No, I'm joking.
No, the one like the say like to the haters and stuff. I can't
the
remember.
Haters gonna hate.
Yes, yep. That's the one.
Shake it off.
That's the shake it off. And that was something that I used to listen to a lot, especially when we just moved to America. And I'd be like walking into meetings, having no idea what the hell I was doing, and I'd just be like, "Hey, let's throw that one on." So wow. It is at the moment, I'd say.
Yeah.
What about, did you win any awards at school?
Okay, I saw this question and I've listened to your podcast enough to know that this question was coming. I did win ribbons for swimming.
Okay. Huh? That's okay.
That was as far as we got with awards for me. I usually got the opposite of an award. So.
Right. Yeah.
Did you chat a lot in class?
Yeah, and I was very naughty. I was very, very naughty.
You just didn't like school, or you found it hard, or?
You know, in hindsight, I've got ADHD and I learn differently.
Yeah, of course.
Amazing. Revelations.
Yeah.
I talked way too much, but I was like, haha, I've got a podcast now.
Actually, we all feel the same.
I know.
So you sort of answered why you're a PE before, didn't you?
Yes. So let's launch in. Let's say, okay, so let's go back to your pregnancy with your beautiful Torin, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you were living in Australia or America?
Okay, this is where my life starts sounding a bit wild.
Well, that's good. I love a bit of wild.
So I was living in London when we fell pregnant. And then we found out, so the night before I found out I was pregnant, we actually had stayed up all night drinking.
Right, yes.
Yep. As you do. And we had planned our route back to Australia because we were at that point where it was like we either invest here in the next, like, you know, 4 or 5 years, and I desperately wanted out of my advertising career, or we leave and we take a massive adventure home. So I got off the bus and threw up on the way to work the next morning.
You were like hungover or?
Yeah, I don't usually throw up on this much. Went home and we found out I was pregnant. So our big adventurous plan, you know, climbing to Everest base camp, all those things all changed. Wow. That all got thrown out the window. That plan was not to happen. And we took off to Thailand and travelled around Thailand for 6 months, and Torin was actually born in Bangkok.
What? Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. So did you have, like, you know, prenatal classes and all of that, or did you just sort of wing it?
Yeah, but no, we winged it.
Mm-hmm.
What are prenatal classes? We did do birthing classes in the UK. And we did have a doula in Bangkok, but I remember about a week before he was born, and he was a post-birth diagnosis.
Right.
I'm kind of going, I've done so much preparation for this birth, I have no idea what to do when he's born.
Yes. Yeah. Isn't that what happens though?
Yes.
I was thinking about it the other day because, you know, of all the other things, if you're going to have your appendix out, 80% of the time it will go a certain way. Yes, they might, something might go wrong, they might nick a bowel, the appendix might burst, blah, blah, blah. There's always the unknown. But with childbirth, 80% of the time it goes the other way. Like, there's no way of knowing. So as women, and fair enough, because it's happening to our bodies, we get obsessed with that one day. And you can't, I don't even know if you can see past it to decide if you believe in sleep settling or bassinets or co-sleeping. You can't. You can.
No.
No. So I remember rushing out to the expat sort of shopping center and buying a book. I can't even remember what the book was, and just going, I guess I better know what to do afterwards. And of course we were traveling, so he didn't even actually have a cot. He had a portable, this like tiny little portable bassinet thingy, so that we had in the apartment that we were, which, you know, was kind of like an Airbnb that he was coming home to. Very minimal clothes because we were traveling. We didn't.
And it's hot.
Yeah, and then he was born.
And what happened after he was born?
He was not diagnosed immediately. It was actually a very luxurious birthing experience. And, you know, there was no one yelling. We were in a dark room. We couldn't have the water birth that we had intended because the power had gone out and the generator wouldn't,
of course.
wouldn't fill the bath water. But it was very luxurious, very like amazing hospital. And he was born by torch because I wanted a calm birth. And so, and the midwife just hummed to tell me to push.
Wow.
Yeah, it was very calm, no bright lights, no nothing. And that was, you know, that was not unstandard there. That was very, like, normal kind of practice for the expats, of course, because I was in an expat hospital, you know, not a local hospital. My dad was like, you know, is it going to be it's not going to be like a dirt floor or something. I was like, Dad, oh, my God, it's not like that. Like, and so, yeah, it was beautiful. And then he just had a little bit of fluid on his lungs, mm-hmm. and that was it. And it was about 3 days after he was born, one of the doctors came in and I was in that, like, you know, newborn bubble of, like, all the hormones, and it was, like, all, like, you know, all the wonderful things. And the doctor, who was Thai, and just looked at him and said, I signed some paperwork. I had no idea what I was signing. And she goes, and I was like, oh, what's that for? And she goes, oh, this is for the, and I'm not going to, because we all know it's offensive now to put on, like, the Asian accent, but she was like, you know, this is genetic testing. He has funny eyes, so we're just testing.
Oh.
And had you
thought anything?
I knew. Actually knew. I'm very intuitive, and, you know, this goes to what I practice now is in professionally. But I'm very intuitive, and I remember the first scan that we had, looking at the scan and thinking there's something up and I don't know what I'm even looking at, but there's something different here. Mm. And we had tested for Down syndrome. We had tested, you know, done the, like, as you sign your paperwork away, like, nonchalantly, like, you know, especially 15 years ago, it was like, so nothing was ever flagged during the pregnancy. And it was, yeah, it was just they thought he had slightly funny eyes that gave it away, because he didn't have any of the other indications for Down syndrome. And when he was born, I remember looking at him and thinking, again, I don't know what I'm looking at, but there's something there. Mm. And throughout my pregnancy, thinking, we don't know anyone that's had a child with a disability or with Down syndrome. We're going to know someone that does soon.
Ah, interesting.
Mm. Yeah. And I just knew there was something, you know, obviously I was carrying him, so there was something in my body that was telling me this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So while it was a shock, at the same time, I already knew.
Mm. Yeah, but it's still a shock, isn't it?
Oh, knocked my socks off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's still a shock.
My legs out.
Yeah.
And we didn't know anyone that had Down syndrome. We didn't know what any of that meant. We had no idea. So it was all very, very new.
So they did the test, and then did you go home, and then they got back to you, or?
Yeah, it took 10 days from memory. But I remember the doctor saying, like, if we think that he has it, the likelihood is that he has it.
Yes, right.
Yeah, and he wasn't latching on for breastfeeding, and, you know, a couple of, like, little tells were starting to see. Mm. So we knew, but the confirmation of it was, of course, at that moment, very devastating for us and for our family as well, like, extended family.
And none of them could come and see you, give you a cuddle, give him a cuddle.
God. Can I? God. It all worked out exactly divinely how it was meant to happen, because my mum lost her entire proverbial.
Yeah.
And they were all so devastated that they didn't see the joy.
Right.
Yes.
My brain works very quickly in certain situations. And I remember speaking to our doula like a week and a half later, and I was like, so, you know, we never thought necessarily that he might be a doctor, but maybe he's going to be like a Special Olympian. Yeah. You know, we just have to shift our goals now of what we thought of a life. And I also remember saying, like, you know, this is now we're having three children instead of two, and my husband's sitting there just going, like,
what are you doing?
Hang on a second. And his brain not working as quickly as mine. And I had already, like, I clearly hadn't discussed any of this with him. And I was like, so now we're having three kids, and now we're like, Because I just saw, I had very quickly wrapped my head around, well, okay, this is just a different path. And I remember speaking to my best friend on the phone about 4 days after the initial he could have Down syndrome, and just saying, I have been looking in life for something and I didn't know what it was. I knew that I had a calling and I didn't know what it was, and I think this is it.
Beautiful boy. And so you took him home and you loved him up, and then you got the official, did they ring you? Did you have to go in for an appointment?
We went in for an appointment, and it was so funny. In hindsight, I think the doctor had autism because he was so amazing with Torrin, and then he looked at us and it was just like dead. There was no connection. But when you looked, and it's funny when you see pediatricians like that, isn't it? They have such an amazing, like, well, some of them have an amazing connection with the children. And
which
then the parents.
Which is what you sort of need as well.
Yeah.
And then they speak to the parents and they're just like.
Yeah, interesting.
Very methodical.
Yeah.
So we were just so fortunate that we were just in this love bubble of our own, and there was nobody coming in and ruining that.
True.
No, it was just, everything was just beautiful and amazing, and we were surrounded in a beautiful, amazing community as well. The hospital introduced us to a nurse that was working in the cardiac unit. I had forgotten about all this. And she had a son with Down syndrome, and he at the time was like 18 years old, I think. And so she told us about all the wonderful things that he could do.
Yes.
And he was a photographer, and she just was like, you know, you just love him.
Yes. That's right.
So instead of like being handed all these like doomsday, nobody said to us like your life is, some of the stories I heard with my guests on the podcast and stuff, I just.
From the profession.
What the parents were told and how they were told, and I think of how we found everything out and our journey with it, and we were just so blessed because
that's
didn't
nice.
Have
that's how it should be.
Yes,
because we're so terrified of disability, we're so terrified, and so it I don't know speak pipe us doctors, but do they give you lessons on how to talk to parents about stuff like this? Because it's a precious, precious baby that's even more loved in that moment. So
exactly. And we did have the, like, we're so sorry, like, you know, because especially in third world countries, children with disabilities aren't exactly, well, it's funny, it's, they're revered because it's like a gift from God in a lot of traditions. Like, it's thought of that this is like a gift, but then, you know, also in some third world countries, they're not left, you know, they're left in the back of the house kind of thing and not left to leave the house.
And I think in some developing countries, if you can't earn money.
That's right.
It's diabolical. And so that's why we are so grateful to live in a country that has a welfare system.
Exactly. And so it was interesting to see the reverence that we were given, but also at the same time a doctor apologizing to us.
Yeah.
So but we didn't have some of the things that I heard on our podcast.
And when did you decide to come back here to Australia?
So we were on our route back.
Yeah. Right.
So we just shortened our trip because we were meant to go to Vietnam and visit friends afterwards, and instead of going to Vietnam, we just hung out in Thailand for like 6 to 8 weeks, and then we came home.
Right.
Parents, and we moved to Melbourne.
Right.
Yes. And then we lived there for like 5-6 years.
Right.
And then we moved to the US.
So you did all your early intervention here.
Yes.
What was that like?
It was really good. I didn't know what to expect, and I don't know what it's like now, but Down syndrome didn't receive funding back then. There was no NDIS. There was none of that. So we I can't even remember, but I do remember that we had, like, we went to twice a week kind of, like, aqua stuff, and we went to, like, playgroups, but the playgroups were kind of, like, led by a physio, I think. So the early intervention was pretty good from memory, but and it's all so different now. But we felt very supported in the first year.
Okay. Yeah.
But after he turned 2, I think, from memory, there was no funding and we couldn't get him an autism diagnosis.
Right.
Do charming. He 100% has autism, but in those days, in those early days, we couldn't get any.
It was very stereotypical, whatever.
Yes. Yeah. And he's a very charming kid. And his speech apraxia wasn't diagnosed. None of the things that we have had a diagnosis for were diagnosed in those early days, because there's not a lot of kids that have Down syndrome in Australia. And this is something that I saw in the US, where the population is so much significantly huger. Australia is like the state of Florida, and there's like other states. So the knowledge that you can get from doctors, they have a bigger exposure on it. You know, so here the doctors weren't as exposed, and we had an older pediatrician who we trusted, but he was older, so he had some of the older thoughts. He was very comforting. He was very, we had a lot of trust in him, but he would dismiss certain things, like that's just Down syndrome, you know. Whereas with hindsight and with new research and with new things, it's not.
So was that part of the reasoning to move to the US, or was it a job opportunity? Or
my husband works in tech, so he got offered a job in Silicon Valley. It was one of his dreams.
Wow.
So I remember saying to him, like, no.
Yeah, please.
We have just got our feet beneath us, because our second daughter, while I'm part of the P's because of Torin, our second daughter was actually born at 28 weeks. So we had a preemie
early,
who had had 3 months in the NICU, and then my dad had passed away, and then we had a third who we almost lost at 23 weeks, and so I was on bed rest for three months with him, and so then we finally got our feet beneath us, and my husband's like, "Do you want to move to America?"
And you're like, no, I don't even want to go to Woolies, to be perfectly fucking honest.
I can't even get out of bed, mate.
Yeah, the thought of getting to the airport is terrifying enough.
I don't know what planet you're on.
I mean, there's, as much as I mock it, there is some amazing joy in the fact that they can actually consider it, because if the offer had come to you, you wouldn't have, you just gone by, hung up. But actually, it wasn't a bad thing, was it? You liked living there.
I loved, hated it. I did not love California. I loved living in Seattle. Loved Seattle. Right. I could have easily stayed.
Yep.
Just the mountains, the water, the people. It's California. I didn't overly love.
I'm watching Virgin River at the moment. I mean, it's sort of up that way.
I've not watched it.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, in the episode I'm watching, it's burning, but
it's
very beautiful.
Yeah.
Seattle's just it's absolutely – it's God's country as far as I'm concerned. And it's
colder, isn't it?
And I love the cold.
Yeah. There's seasons there, autumn leaves and the occasional dusting of snow and,
Oh, it's stunning. And the water is just so fresh. But also the people, you know, the people in Seattle is, it's just a beautiful place. And they say the Pacific Northwest chill, like the people aren't as friendly. But Silicon Valley is a rat race. It's a very, 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 very busy, massive opportunity, massive scale, concrete jungle. I didn't like it. I just, you know, it was amazing while we lived there. I was happy to say goodbye.
Yep. So how long were you there?
We were in San Francisco, like Silicon Valley, 4 years, and then in Washington for 3.
Right.
So, and it was the right time to leave.
So did you have a home here? Like, what were you coming back to? Or, you know, like...
No, COVID really ruined our plan.
Yes. Really? Yeah. Only you, most people sailed through it.
I thrived.
Yeah, I mean, Mandy and I loved it. Yeah, I think back longingly to those days.
you know, because we always had this plan that the kids were going to spend, you know, some, because you get 11 weeks school holiday. Mm. We were going to come back and find a house and, you know, the kids were going to get to know Australia because they were very young when they moved over.
Of course, yeah.
And you know, Torren struggled with the accent, the Australian accent. Like, he, really? At school, all his therapists, everyone had American accents.
Of course.
Yeah. He had all of his speech therapy was done with American accents. There were things that I had not forethought, which wouldn't have stopped our adventure anyway. But, you know, he, all of his learning for money, for, you know, saying.
Of course. Yeah, miles, kilometers. Yeah.
Yeah, everything was taught in America. So we had had this, like, idea to move back. That's not how it happened. Mm. The kids had no exposure to America, to Australia for 2 years, and then we came back in a pandemic.
Yeah.
So it was really hard for Torren initially because words, like cafeteria is not the tuck shop. No. You know, even, like, in high school, he had started middle school and high school looks very different to middle school here, and culturally, it's we all speak English, but culturally it's very different. Mm-hmm. And I didn't understand that moving over.
Right. Well, we all watch the Brady Bunch, right? So we think, oh, we know America.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And we all have this idea of what America is, and it's very different.
Of course. So and what, it's different places where, you know, New York's very different to there. Texas.
Exactly.
How did you find some people over there?
Yeah. What,
how did you find friends? How did you find schooling?
Look, my only returning has been different because my only understanding of schooling is the American system. As a mother, it's very intense. There is a lot. It's very involved as a parent.
Here or there?
There.
Right.
There is a celebration at the opening of an envelope. Right. I am telling you, there is, like, Valentine's Day stalls at schools. There is Teacher Appreciation Day. There is Hanukkah. There is Christmas. There is Easter. There is Spring Fling. There is Fall Festival. There is, like,
wow.
You are involved in all of it.
Labor Day weekend, all of it. Yeah.
There's Halloween. There's Thanksgiving. There's Christmas. Like, it's like there is never ending celebration. And I miss it because the one thing it built, as exhausting as it was, was community.
Yes.
Community.
And I think in Australia, if you don't start at a school in their very early years and continue in that suburban area and schooling system, it's very hard to make friends. Some schools are better at, you know, grade 5 parent coffee, but once you get to high school, there's nothing.
Forget about it.
Yeah. And it is, I think it is a real shame, and loads of people do move states or change, you know, schools at high school, and it's hard for the parents to make friends.
Yeah, but, you know, at the other side of the spectrum, I am relieved to not have all of these celebrations.
Oh, gosh, yes, I can imagine. Yeah,
pressure.
It was a lot to keep up, but it was a celebration. I grew to love it. Within what it was, because I realized once I got past the exhaustion of it, and they're like, are you kidding me? Are we doing another stall? Are
and
we doing
people another working stall? Full time? How do these parents do it?
Look, we lived in a community where there was a lot of not two parent households.
Right.
So there was a lot of, like, the mums were staying home, but there was also, you know, equally, you were just as busy.
But I'm just still like, yeah, you, I don't know how you do it.
How we created the time. I just don't know. But it happens. But I'm equally relieved to not have that level of having to read a dictionary.
And is this mainstream schooling? Like, was Torren in mainstream? Yes.
He was completely mainstreamed over there and still is here to within the scope of what's available. He was completely mainstream. Look, we had a very – You don't move internationally if you're not moving with money.
Yeah.
You're not moving over to a job that's not going to pay well.
Of course, my
husband was paid he was earning really well there. Mm. We didn't have, you know, we were upper middle class, I'd say. We lived in a nice area. We had great health insurance.
Right.
We had those privileged benefits. And I know that you have a lot of listeners that are in the US, so I'm very conscious and cognitive to not disrespect some of the people that don't have the great health insurance and so forth. But we had a phenomenal experience there. And it's been an adjustment culturally returning. It's just different, and I think it's been really wonderful, the exposure that we had there, because it's also given me the advocacy for our return as well. Mm. So, it's hard. I try not to. I think there's benefits with America, huge benefits within America, within the schooling system, for depending on your state.
Yeah.
We weren't living in Texas. We weren't living in Florida. We were living in Washington State and California, where the advocacy, the legislation, the education system is of a higher standard. You go to some of the other states that don't have the same legislation, or they don't have the same standard of education, or they don't have the same money, and you have a very, very different experience. And even down to the teacher in the classroom.
Of course.
If you have a crap teacher in the classroom, you're going to have a crap year.
Every school is the same.
But we had a really wonderful experience, and I wouldn't have changed it for the world. It was wonderful, and Torin was so supported, and it was really amazing. We're also glad to be back.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Your husband, did he then get a job offer back in Australia, or were you like, it's time, COVID has made us realise that we miss being close to family, like the kids are growing up, we want them to grow up in Australia?
I always had a kind of like a cut-off point that I said to my husband that we should move when our daughter starts high school.
Right.
Right.
Because of her age, that whole like icky, like moving her in the middle of puberty kind of
thing. Yeah, moving in halfway through year nine.
Yeah.
Brutal.
So that was kind of and also, you know, my mum recently passed away, and we were very cognizant of her frail health and COVID, we couldn't get into the country.
Yes.
If she passed away, I had to reconcile that we couldn't return.
Yes.
So that was kind of the, okay, let's cut this off now and we'll go back.
And so apart from the cultural language things, what's been great about being back in Australia?
Being able to be with family, definitely. It's less politically led and less there's a lot going on in America at the moment, and there has been for the last couple of years. So to not have that energy in the background constantly, that's nicer. It's a bit calmer in Australia with things. Yeah. So which comes with blessings and sometimes not so, because sometimes you want to put a fire under someone and then to get something done.
Laid back people.
True. Yeah. Very true.
Yeah.
But I want to hear about when you started your podcast and how did you get that going and what made you decide to do that and when did you start it?
Yeah.
I can't remember when I started it. I think it was 2020, because you guys were one of the first guests. There wasn't much around. I think it was the same as you guys. There wasn't much around.
Yeah, there wasn't.
I wanted to hear. I had If I backtrack before the podcast, I'd actually already started speaking about stress and anxiety and mental health and physical well-being of parents within our community because I had experienced burnout. I pushed myself so hard on the move to America, and after, you know, we just had three different, very different pregnancies with difficult.
Yes.
Everyone. My dad had passed away, and then we moved country, and it was like I burnt out. And I was like, I started studying nutrition because I'd always had an interest, and I got diagnosed with autoimmune disease and all these things. And I was like, surely there's got to be other parents that are struggling the way I'm struggling with a child with a disability that are experiencing this, but who's talking about it? There is nobody talking about it. Like, what is wrong with people that they could don't talk up and speak about how hard it is? That was one thing in California I hated. Nothing was ever hard. Everything was peachy. I was like, it's not. Day sucks. The dog just shat in my car.
Yeah, yeah. It's okay to say bad things happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything was always peachy. And I'd be standing there going, I am pulling my hair out today. This is not peachy. And so I was just like, and then I started researching more, like, why are we not speaking about it? What are the side effects of all of this stress that we're having? And every time I kept on coming back, I was seeing that there was like, you know, autoimmune diseases, cancer, marriage breakdowns, all of the things. And I was like, this is hard. This is all hard and nobody's speaking about it. So I started speaking about that. And then I also realized there's also this huge positive that comes out of having a child with a disability. There's a huge, like, we're exposed to this amazing community of women that are warriors, of children that are amazing. There's all of these, like, opportunities where we grow. Like, there's women in the US that are, like, changing legislation.
Amazing women.
Like, there are so many people, like, doctors that are stepping up, like, women that are stepping up to, like, advocate for our children, for our communities. They never would have had we had these opportunities because of being exposed to these communities. And I was like, we've got to like lift these women up more. We've got to speak about the amazingness of the opportunities and the exposure that we receive because we get to see these like beautiful worlds. We get to see the inside of a lot of hospitals, but we also get to see the amazingness that comes out of it, and we get to view life through this completely different lens.
Yeah. And I get all. Yeah, no. I mean, obviously, Mandy and I very passionate, 100% agree. But I think the other thing that's – I don't even know the word for it or if there is a word for it. Maybe there's a word for it in another language, but the only word I can think of is to be seen. And so it's not saying my life is bad, yours is good, or you know, yours is bad, mine's good. It's none of that. It's just being seen. And I don't want anything to be changed or fixed. I mean, sure, I would like legislation changed and things like that. But I think when Mandy and I used to speak or I'd speak to other parents, I'd be like, oh, this person sees me.
Yes.
And then you feel less lonely.
Yeah.
And there is just power in being seen, even if for a lot of the time – nothing changes.
Yeah. And I think also I am naturally a glass half full. So I was immediately trying to look for, okay, this is hard. And I was doing all the research about like early death and dementia. And I was like, this all makes sense, but there's got to be something good here. So I started seeking out these women that were making the changes because I also wanted to inspire other women and to be seen, to see other women doing it, to also give myself that drive to do it as well. And so I wanted to highlight that you know there is this extra burden, and I don't like to call it a burden, but there's this extra stress, this extra like load that we carry, but can something amazing come from that?
Isn't bad.
No.
This is what we say all the time, but it's still hard.
100%.
Okay. And so I think if people, you know, run a marathon, people are like, wow, you put all that training in, you did all that, and it's hard. I don't think anyone runs a marathon, even the fittest person on the planet, they still say that's hard.
Yes.
But that's not bad. I mean, I think it's bad. I think it would be terrifying if I had to do that. But I appreciate that. So I think the same goes with different levels of parenting or other things that happen in your life.
Exactly. You go,
at the moment it's hard. I don't want sympathy. I would like the marathon. Wow, fuck, go you. You're a legend. That's what I'd like. I'd like a bit of that.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
With genuine, not with a head tilt.
No, genuine. Like, yeah.
The head tilt.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so, yeah, I think that's what I think, I hope, that has come from this podcast anyway.
Yeah, and that was why I started my podcast, was highlighting women that had started charities or changed legislation, women like yourself that had started this podcast, who had built an amazing community, that had shone a light in a space that needed the light to be shone, because it's not dark.
No.
It's not darkness. It's not awfulness. It's not like there. Yes, but like you said, Mandy. Sorry, Kate. The other things in life happen that are really, really hard, and this is something that I've been sitting with a lot since our return to Australia.
Yeah.
I took a sabbatical just before we left America, and I announced on the podcast that it was pausing. And I thought in my head 6 months. I'll pause it for 6 months because I'm carrying too much stress right now with the move in the pandemic. Yeah. I can't take on clients. I can't hold space for people right now because I have so much going on myself. I've got to take my own advice. So I pressed pause and I was like, okay, it's only going to be 6 months. And then a year, and I was like, okay, it's only going to be – maybe I'll start it again in a couple of months. And then all these life things kept happening since we returned. And it's almost 2 years now.
Yeah.
But you can press record whenever you want, and if you don't want to, you don't have to.
That's right.
Exactly. But what it was I realized, and I think, you know, all of us have children that are older, and we look at these trailblazers that are coming, cause kind of behind us, like we've built a bit of a path and, you know, they're coming up behind us. So, and there are definitely trailblazers that were ahead of us without a doubt. But you don't realize when you're like blazing down these trails that your parents are going to die. And then that is going to bring a huge amount of stress or anxiety or grief. And you're still juggling this life that is very, very, very full. And now you've got even more. And that has been where I have been really sitting in this past 2 years. My husband was incredibly sick with pharmaceutical toxicity and ended up with psychosis, lost his job, got made redundant, I should say, didn't lose his job. And I still was juggling a child with a disability.
Yeah, no, that doesn't change.
And how do you do that? And that's where I sort of see myself building forward, like, okay, you know, these are areas that also still need to be discussed.
Yeah.
But we still have life. I mean, you guys have been experiencing, you know, marriage breakdowns and sick partners as well and things like that. And it's like these are things that life still happens.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Yeah.
And I think it happens with, and I'm not just talking about having children with a disability. That's just my story. I think it happens with less in the tank.
Yes.
So, you know, I think you're like, oh, this big event's happened. Like, you know, my mum is not well or whatever. I'm making that up.
Yeah.
I probably have less in the tank at the moment because of my life. So, yes, how do we resource that and how are we okay? I was talking to a friend recently and she was saying something about how busy everything was and, you know, something's going on with one of her children at the moment that's, you know, sometimes there's nowhere to go. You're like, I don't know who to talk to about this. No one, you know. And so I was talking to her about it. I was like, I don't know either, but I'll listen. And she said something about the fact that, oh, I love that often when, because we FaceTime, she's like, you're having a cup of tea. And I said, I just refuse to be the person who won't let myself have a cup of tea anymore. Like I was that person for I reckon 25, decades. 28 years.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, no, Kate, you deserve a cup of tea. Doesn't matter if that takes 5 minutes out of your day. But for a long time, I couldn't do that. I couldn't give it to myself, right? And so I know there are people listening who can't. But I'm like, yeah, I used to feel guilty about having a cup of tea. And so I think you have to, while I don't, you know, I always see those memes, you can't empty from your cup if it's not being filled up. You can, actually.
You can.
This is a fucking lie. You really can.
You really can.
Maybe men can't, but women can.
Women can.
Yes. And I think the unfortunate thing is that you do pay for it in the end.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. But you, there's also, there's no choice. So that is a, you sort of lose some of your power from that, but you gain more power because you're like, no one, I wouldn't believe that I've been able to do what I've done. Like it's not empowering at the time, but it's empowering later. And you think, wow, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think something that's I also found in my own journey is when we do talk about choice, and it's, there is always a choice, even if that the alternative of what you're choosing is something that you think is the most outrageous, ridiculous, mind-boggling idea of like, you know, I remember thinking I didn't want a child with a disability. My choice was that I gave him up for adoption.
Yeah, and you're like, that's not a choice.
That's not a choice.
Yeah, I love that.
It's an option, but that's not the choice that I would make. So actually I did choose, you know, so while we say we didn't have that choice, there was no choice. The choice was the most awful idea in the planet of the earth. And I don't want that. Yeah. But what I do want is to be able to give my best and do my best. And this is the choice. And that actually gave me a lot of power when I realized that actually, even when I felt like I didn't have a choice, the route I took was what felt like the only option to me, because the alternative wasn't.
Yeah.
You can think palatable. About it.
Can't think about it.
Yeah. Palatable. That's a good one. And I think even in that, that can be really empowering when we realize that, you know, using those resources and burning the candle at both ends is actually the choice that I am choosing to make right now, because that is the most powerful option that I have.
And if someone else wants to make a choice that involves dropping me dinner or taking my kid out for an afternoon, I will let them make that choice as well. But, yes, it is on some level a choice. Recently I was telling my therapist that I feel powerless about a lot of things in my life, and I probably haven't felt like this for a really long time. And she was like, first of all, I want to say yes, you are really powerless. Second of all, write a list. Write all the things that you are powerless about, and then find some things that you have power over. And even though the power list was much smaller, I felt so good writing it down. And then she's like, do a couple of them. Do them.
Yes.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, I think it's easy to be, and I will say as a parent or a parent of children with disabilities, overwhelmed by the powerlessness. And then every now and again you're like, okay, I'm going to take a little bit back, or I'm going to try.
Yeah. Yeah. Where is it that I can exert a bit of, yeah. And sometimes I think also when we're feeling overwhelmed because, oh my gosh, like coming back to Australia to the NDIS, like.
Yeah, I was about to ask how did you grapple with that?
I still can't get my head around it. And I, you know, I had to choose to sit that down.
Yeah.
I had to choose to put it down because my husband was so sick that I couldn't. I had to go, okay, what I often have said, like our life in the last 18 months has been like an emergency room. Yeah. And I've been triaging the most urgent patient in that moment.
Yeah, so tiring.
And it is exhausting. Yeah. And so I just was like, okay, NDIS, I have to just trust that I'm often getting the best advice and we're being held in the best situation. And I'll come back to it when I can think. Yeah. It's so confusing.
I think if we try to think about it on a long term, that's what I try to do.
Yes.
I want this in the long term for my daughter. Mm. So if I stuff it up this year or something doesn't quite happen that year, it's okay.
Mm. Yeah.
After being now for sort of 5 or 6 years, rather than it doesn't have to be perfect. It's no. never going to be perfect.
No. And it's you know, I literally still don't know what I'm doing. Our support worker the other day said, do you know what code I'm meant to be? I was like, I don't
know. Don't ask me about a code.
I'm sorry. You're going to have to go to the P assistant, Tanya, because that's the only person that knows anything.
Oh, yeah, Tanya.
Tanya, she'll tell you.
And she said to me, like, can you look it up for me? I was like, dude, no.
Got the code, my friend.
I can't actually.
If you're going to put it on the invoice, you need to look up the code.
I like to talk about having support workers in your house. My home is a workplace. That is really overwhelming for me when I stop and think about that.
Mm. People walk into our house sometimes and they're just like, this is chaos. I'm like,
yeah. Oh. I see them leave with a glint in their eye and I go, I walk them to the door and I always thank them and then I say, have a great day. I'm super grateful for them, but it is another level of pressure.
Of course.
Our support worker actually said to me when she first started working with us, because we live semi-rural, so it was hard to find anyone. And again, it wasn't the top of my priority list at the time, but we found her, but just such a blessing. We found her through Torrens. Physiotherapist, and she said she often used to go home for the first 2 months and say to her dad, I don't know what to do for them, but I'm just standing there looking at everything. I want to do something.
In breath, mine fell on the ground laughing the other day as I ran to the toilet because I was going to wet my pants from laughter. And I thought, this is a moment where all absolutely delighted by this person. Yeah. That she fell on the ground laughing. Like, we were just like.
So.
But, you know, what? We wouldn't have it anyway.
No, we wouldn't. And how is Torren today? Like, I know you said he's homesick, but I mean, like, as a general rule, how is his life?
15-year-old, what like?
Hmm.
I wouldn't mind to live a day in his life sometimes, I tell you. He's great. Like, good. He's really great. He now understands Australian accents. Good. Thank you. God love him. He just used to look at us. People would speak to him when we returned and he would just look at us like,
I can just imagine.
But he's great. He loves guitar. He wants to learn guitar. He loves the drums. Oh. You'll often see in my stories on Instagram, he has his drumming lessons twice a week with his drumming teacher from the US. Awesome. We do Zoom. He has so much bro love for that man. It's he counts down the days every week.
Fantastic.
How many sleeps until I get to drum with Aaron. And so... He's now he's worked out, he's found on YouTube drummers that drum to his favorite bands and do, like, you know, they have the song playing in the corner and they do the drumming. So he gets on and he copies them.
Fantastic. God drummer. Bless YouTube.
Exactly. He's actually a really great drummer. So he's living his best life. We've got a big drum kit set up. We just got a new drum kit and he's doing really well. And he semi loves school. Some days doesn't. Some days he's 15.
That sounds like a 15-year-old, yeah.
Exactly. And he's made some wonderful friends here in the support unit and they've got wonderful families. So he's, you know, he just loves life. He's loves colouring in and he just is obsessed with his dad and he's just living his
best. Go talk to your dad. Go on.
His dad's always like, go ask mom, because Torren is a little bit obsessed with his dad. But, you know, he's just living his best life and he's a great kid. He really is a great kid.
Good.
And we're just so blessed and so grateful to have him and everything that we have learnt along the way from him in our lives. He's just,
awesome.
Yeah, great.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What do you think the future kind of looks like for you and your work? I don't want to put pressure on you, but I just, what do you think is bubbling away or is it still sabbatical? Because that is fair too.
It is fair.
Yeah, no, I am craving getting back to work. I miss, like, you know, I was in more regular contact with you guys. Like, I miss everything. I've got Mel, who lives, our friend Mel Dimmitt. She's we catch up for coffee because we're now neighbours, basically.
Awesome.
Which was just such an amazing coincidence because I met Mel when I lived in the US and now we live like 15 minutes from each other. And Mel and I are often having a coffee and like brainstorming ideas. I have finally got to a place where my husband is well, touch wood.
Yes.
The kids are sorted. My mum sadly did pass away, but I'm at a place in the group where I can actually operate. And while I'm a bit burnt out, I won't lie, I am excited to slowly be returning. So I'll be hosting meditation classes online and in person. I've got a studio in our garage. I've got talk of a podcast. I've been talking to Mel about a podcast idea that I have, like a little mini series talking about life and, you know, resources and things like that. So that's idea-wise bubbling, and hopefully that will come out next year. And one of the things I wanted to share with your listeners actually is, you know, when I do talk about resources for ourselves, I always think they have to be simple. They have to be so simple to fit into our lives. You know, like you were talking about the cup of tea, like creating that space for the cup of tea. And I remember discovering a meditation that you fall asleep to, literally. Yeah.
That sounds good.
Everyone has space to fall asleep. We do it every single day. And I remember hearing about this meditation and then I became a teacher in it and I wanted to be able to gift all of the listeners a free meditation that you can just turn on and it really helps support our nervous systems. Mm. And you just turn it on and literally fall asleep for the night.
Oh, that sounds perfect. That sounds
beautiful. Thank you.
Yes, that sounds so good. Sorry, better than falling asleep to true crime podcasts. Not that I do that.
For ourselves.
Yeah.
I've done that too. But I always want us to be able to have opportunities to look after ourselves as best and as simply as possible. Mm. And so I'll send you guys a link for that to share.
Yeah, we'll put it in the show notes or in our story or something. Yep.
Yep. We'll put your Instagram. Is that the best place to find you?
The only place to find me, and I'm only over my stories because I don't have time for posting or anything anymore.
No time for the grid, people.
It's changing anyway.
People love the stories. People love the stories.
Yeah, they do love the stories.
Yep. And so, yes, that's all going to be coming to fruition. I'm taking baby steps back into the workplace and back into advocating for all of us amazing carers and mums and just, you know, highlighting how amazing our lives and full they can be.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, and you're an adventurer, right?
You are.
You know, maybe.
I know more.
But maybe in the future there'll be space for you to do a bit more adventuring on something that, you know.
I really don't plan for any more adventures. I'm like.
I'd like a enough. boring place. I just like boring.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
I'm manifesting a boring life moving
forward. Mediocre baby.
I used to joke when I was about 20 and I used to say, on my gravestone, it's going to say, Mandy, not a boring life.
Well, Mandy, that came true.
I manifested that one.
Came true, right? Yeah. What did I know? I did not know anything. Well, thank you so much, Sinead.
Thank you. It was so nice chatting.
Thank you for cheering us on, coming to our live shows in Sydney, having us on your podcast. And, thank you for, you know, celebrating us as well. So we're grateful to you.
Many more. I've got ideas, girls. I've got ideas.
I feel I've stayed in touch with you because I watch your Instagram stories. But I
can't
believe it's been that many years. But anyway.
Yeah. I'm sorry it took us that long to get you on.
Divine timing.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll let you go and thank you so much.
Enjoy your beautiful spring weather in your beautiful ideal rural Australia.
Yeah, your house looks gorgeous.
Yes, it does. I'm very glad.
Yes, it's a relief.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Well, thank you so much.